Cause for now, the sex toy that I found is firmly planted in my butt.
Hey, baby, this is your best friend, Spidey Jones.
Hi.
Yes.
Just got done having the most amazing sex.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm Stefan Buffet.
I've been a very, very bad girl.
I have a bit of a green thumb myself. I used to have a brown thumb, but the doctor said I'd get retarded if I kept doing that.
It's quite rude.
Sorry about that.
There's a hole I made it into a jack-off machine. Actually, it's a shoe polisher.
You act like an imbecile.
There's a tension going on now. Oh, my. There's, the defense is really stretched out.
Brings it to the belt.
My goodness. And here comes the head. Oh, holy moly.
I will not be held reliable.
Hey, let's hear it for Sean Bullitt.
I'm a movie star.
Somebody get me the urine tester.
Here, here's the urinal tract infection.
I know another inventor I read about the other day, a guy named Sean Bullitt, is inventing a car that runs on garbage.
My ass is really sore.
Tickles the clown. Hey, kids, want some candy?
But stop laughing!
But you were. But you were a poor enough husband to drive your wife into the arms of another man.
No, I was afraid of her. She cheated on me. A freaking bitch!
Dear in.
I've had sex with a porn star.
Oh, that poor guy.
Yeah, it was pretty horrible for him. I mean her.
I made my first dildo.
You made a dildo?
My first one, yeah.
My button.
One of the top 10 things a woman must have in order for rage to be attracted to her. Number one, a penis.
And well, mother and father.
Here it goes.
I could swear the voice massager had veins.
What a loser.
Well. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Hello, everybody. It is Ray Lytle's Morning Disaster, starring Ray Lytle and the lovely Nikki.
Good morning.
Hello, Nikki.
Hello.
I like when a person's first words are, oh.
They said hello.
Yeah, I heard, I've seen on Facebook your medicine regimen over the last few days.
Yeah.
Oh, that's crap.
Uh-huh.
All right, everybody, welcome to the program. It is a morning disaster, blah, 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 blah. We're here.
Mm-hmm.
Nikki has, of course, Nikki has COPD, you know, which is a lung disease.
Yep.
Caused by very rough, dirty, dirty sex.
Yeah.
And she caught bronchitis on top of it.
Well, bronchitis is part of COPD.
It's what?
It's part of COPD.
Oh, so the COPD is...
COPD bronchitis or COPD emphysema.
Oh,
I have COPD bronchitis.
Oh, that's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that dirty sex was worth it.
Yeah.
Mm. I had a dream. It was so filthy. Have you ever had a dream that you do things so filthy and so foul in the dream that you almost feel a little guilty?
No.
Oh, my God. I can't even tell you. My wife, I had a dream. It was sort of based on reality. But my wife and I, she used to, my wife, God, she's so hot, you know. She's still hot. She just, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She used to dress, oh, my God. She had this red dress, okay, that buttoned down the front, okay? And this dress went all the way to, I mean, it was that showed her shoulders and cleavage. And then, but the dress went all the way down to like her knees, but it was, there was a slit. Oh my God. I can't even describe this dress. She was so, so freaking sexy in this dress she would wear. And we would go out in Peoria, right? We'd go out every weekend. Every weekend we'd go out, and we'd go out Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, you know, and sometimes Sunday. Occasionally Tuesday, but for sure Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you know, we'd go out every weekend. And we would go out and get bombed, and all these people were out. You know, everybody was out looking for, you know, looking to get laid. And we were married, you know. But let's face it, we were, the only difference between us and those other people is we knew it was a sure thing at the end of the night, where everybody else was sort of guessing. But we would go out and get bombed. And she'd wear this red dress. She'd get so horny in that red dress. Oh, my God. I mean, I could never keep my hands off of her, you know. But for some reason, if I got her to go out and she got bombed in that red dress, she couldn't keep her hands off me. I mean, think about it. Someone not keeping their hands off of me? And I could never keep my hands off of her.
Why?
Yeah, but, I mean, come on. I'm a realist. I mean, I still, I'm pushing 50. I still can't keep my hands off my wife. But I'm saying, for anyone to ever keep their hands off of me is shocking, you know. Or for someone to not want to keep their hands off of me. My wife, oh, my God. So I would take her home and just, we would just have great times, you know. But, within limits, you know. But this dream I had, there were no limits. Oh, my God, the filthy things I was doing to this poor woman. This poor girl. She was only 20-something, you know. In this dream, Nikki, the horrors I did to this poor girl. I did things I never did. Oh, my wife would, she would go out in that dress, and she would put on, thigh-high hose. I mean, I think about it now, everybody would drool over my wife. No wonder. When she'd sit in this dress, it exposed the thigh highs a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, if she was sitting with her legs crossed, you'd get a little peek of thigh high. No wonder people always, you know, tried to pick her up. And she'd have to say, no, I'm Ray's wife, you know. People would be like, screw Ray, big, get rid of him, you know. Thank God she never took him up on it. But, my God, I had this dream. Oh, my God, the filthy things I made her do in this dream. She never did them in real life. But, boy, she went for it in the dream, I'll tell you what. And it felt so real. It felt like she actually did them. So now I have memories of her doing these things that she didn't do because she did them in the dream. Like a naughty little wife should, you know. Oh, I felt guilty, though. I mean, I felt guilty. I had her cuffed and all kinds of sickening stuff. Very disturbing. I felt bad when I woke up. And this was this wasn't even a nighttime dream. I fell asleep, okay? In the daytime, and I was so tired that I had an intensely dirty dream. And then my wife, you know, came home and
to muck her in the face.
Oh, no, I tried to. I was, like, coming on to her, you know. And she did not give a damn, you know. She didn't care. And I was trying my best because I had the dream, so I was all horned up, you know. And as I was all horned up, like I said, she didn't give a damn. She really just didn't care. Nothing came of it, so. But, man, it was
She had no clue. You were, like, 10 steps ahead of her.
Yeah. My wife never sleeps. I mean, she just doesn't sleep. She never, ever sleeps. And I try to, like, I start leaving her alone, all right? Like, at 10 o'clock at night, I just leave her alone in hopes that she'll just go to sleep, you know? So I'm like, just come, go to sleep and get sleep and get to bed by 10:30, just one night. Because that would be like 8 hours of solid sleep for her. Then the next day she'd be awesome, you know. But I'd never talk her into it. I try. I try. My kids finally figured it out. I got to give Bella credit. You know, she'll go to bed like at 9 o'clock, 9:30, and she's never done that before. Now in high school, she realizes it's hard. You know, she's all in advanced classes and she's got to study and stuff. So she'll go to bed like 9:30. Mm-hmm. You know, it's crazy. But good for her.
Have a good sleep.
Yeah. So anyway, that's my life has been crazy. Not like yours. I mean, I haven't been super ill, thank God.
Yeah.
But I'm getting headaches, you know.
Yeah, that didn't help on top of everything.
Yeah.
I slept like 20 out of 24 hours.
See, that sounds pretty good.
No.
Oh. See, that's sort of like normal for like my dogs. If you were one of my dogs, you'd be normal. They seem to sleep that much. Infants sleep that much, you know.
I'm just having weird dreams.
Yeah. Well, you get those, you know. When you're sick, you're trying to heal. And you're
like driving along in a big, giant bag of car-sized onions fall on the interstate.
Good Lord. I think... I think that maybe you're healing, you know.
I don't feel like I'm healing. I've been on 3 weeks of antibiotics, and I feel worse.
Maybe it's time to move up the antibiotics. You're sick all the time, so eventually a certain antibiotic will stop working.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You got to...
I've got to call then.
Maybe... Calling some. How big are these things you're taking? These antibiotics.
It's for my son.
Well, maybe it's time to move you up to the, like some augmentin 800s or something.
I don't know.
You might not have a solid poop for a few weeks, but it'll knock that virus out of you or those bacteria out of you.
Actually, I'm allergic to augmentin.
Oh, you are.
Yeah.
Oh boy, they got to do something. Get you healed. I've had these headaches the last, you know, week.
Mm-hmm.
So, last night, my doctor gave me pain pills, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't like to take pain pills because the reason's pretty simple. I have an addictive person. I know this shocks people. I have an addictive personality. I just have, you know what I mean? I can't do a little bit of anything. Which is why I learned it pretty early on. I knew when I was a kid, I'm like, man, I do everything to excess, you know. Because I would start drinking, and I would just drink so much, and I would, all right, eat. I'd eat. So everything I did in it, you know, to excess. And I figured it out before I was old enough or before I was offered anything super illegal, you know. Well, people offered me coke all the time when I was playing in a band, you know, and they would offer me coke, you know, you name it, pretty much every drug.
Mm-hmm.
Never, I mean, you know, like I'm so damn old, I don't remember crack being ever offered to me, but you know, and. So it ended up with, you know, me saying no.
Mm-hmm.
And I just said, the reason I said no is, he says, are you sure? I said, yeah, I better not, because I have a tendency to, you know, to overdo it. And I think it was, I had read the death of, I'd read something like Robin Williams or somebody had said something about John Belushi's death.
Yeah.
So by the time I got old enough to be offered drugs, I was like, I read this thing about Belushi where they said he did everything to excess. And it just made me think, I'm like, you know, that sounds a lot like me. Like, I do everything to excess. You know, like, I can't just have one piece of cake. I can't just have, you know, I just can't have one of anything. I have to have, if it's good, I've got to have more of it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was young, it was like women, you know, couldn't just have one. which is why, you know, I'd have one girlfriend and she'd find out I had, you know, more than one. Yeah, and that's what I mean. It was like, I had problems when I was younger, you know. So I just said, no, I'm not going to even try it. Thank God, you know. But that's also why when I grew up and stuff, I never took pain pills until like I had surgery. When I had surgery, it hurt so bad.
Mm-hmm.
The doctor's like, you have to take these. But then, man, I really liked them. You know, you ever had like a pain pill
and you liked them a little bit too much?
Oh man, you know, like I'll be laying on the table before surgery or something, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they'll start pumping. They start pumping this stuff, and it's so warm, you know, when it goes in.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always like, I always go like my last words to the anesthesiologist is me going more. Yeah, because I like it so much. I'm like, more, you know, because I'm so doped up. So I get done, and they gave me, I think it was Vicodin. They gave me Vicodin after the surgery when it actually works. Now, if I just take a Vicodin, you know, like if I'm hurting today and I take a Vicodin, I'll get cloudy. My head gets cloudy. I feel like I'm watching mm-hmm. myself. But after surgery, when I was in pain and my knees, you know, this is like after my knee surgeries. They'd be hurting so much, and I take the Vicodin, I'd feel the same. I just wouldn't have any pain, you know. But then, like, I wouldn't even be hurting. I'd be mm-hmm. like, oh, time to take another Vicodin, because it'll start hurting soon. And I would just take one, and I realized, man, I don't think that's how it's supposed to work. I don't think I'm supposed to take them, you know, so far ahead of the pain coming. And so,
when I had my lung surgery, it was Narcos.
And it just made the hurt go away?
Oh, yeah.
And then you start missing it, right? When you finally stop.
And I'd fall asleep.
Yeah.
And I'd wake back up, and I'd be like, oh, I think I'll take another Narco.
I better take another one.
Yeah.
See, that's
the stuff. I got a little addicted to it.
That's what I'm talking about. It's too good. So mm-hmm. that's why I'm afraid of these pain.
You need
pills.
Everything, all pain, all everything. Yeah. Just go away.
So, you know, recently my knee's hurting so bad, and I'm trying to work out and stuff. And my doctor finally says, you know, we've got to get you some pain pills. Got to get you some pain pills. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, let me try some. So they give me these pain pills, and I've been hesitant to take them, but I took them, you know, I tried taking them the other day, and, you know, it didn't, the pain still happened, but it wasn't as bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's not bad, you know. So then I've taken a couple. I think I took one here, and then I took another one a couple days later and stuff. I'm just really afraid of taking too much. So last night my head's really hurting, right?
Mm-hmm.
My head's, I'm sitting on the couch at like midnight, 12:30, working on my computer. I'm trying to cut the Best Of show that's going to air Friday and Monday. Because Monday is my grandmother's funeral's late Sunday night, or Sunday night, it'll go till late. So I won't even be back in town, you know. So I'm trying to cut the Best Of shows to get them all ready, right? And my knee's hurting. My head is just killing me. My neck, everything's hurting on me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh my God, I feel miserable. I thought I was going to vomit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I was nauseous too. It was the weirdest thing. I don't know what was going on. I was hot and ugh. So I finally say, oh, screw it. I'm going to take these pain pills. So I take a couple of these pain pills, right? And within 20 minutes, my headache goes away. I'm like, oh, that's good. Mm-hmm. And then I said, well, now I'm getting tired. I got to go to bed. I get up to walk to the bedroom. My knee doesn't hurt. I'm like, what the? Why doesn't my knee hurt? I'm freaking out a little bit. So I didn't even go to the bathroom or anything. Which usually, last thing I do before I go to sleep usually is I go to the bathroom, drain the main vein. I didn't even do that. I just like went into my bedroom and just like fell into the bed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing I remember is waking up at 8:00 today to do the show.
All is good in the world.
And I woke up and I feel like nothing hurt, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nothing. No head hurt, no neck hurt, no knees. Nothing hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Even right now, nothing's really hurting me, you know. Oh, I strained something in my right arm that was hurting last night, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And So I get up from sleeping, and I'm like, oh, man, I better go to the bathroom. I didn't go last night. And I urinate. Oh, my God. It takes like, a 2 minutes to pee. I'm like, oh, my God. I was so drugged up. I didn't even pee last night. You know, you get over 40, you start peeing at least once during the night, you know.
Yeah.
But I didn't even go to the bathroom last night. So I peed and grabbed my stuff, walked into the studio. I'm pain-free. That pain pill right before bed, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
It, like, knocked everything out of me. I feel so much better today, you know. Very bizarre. Yeah. Very bizarre. So maybe you should try some, you know, what I'm getting at is maybe you should try some pain pills, you know. On top of those antibiotics.
That would depress my breathing and make it worse.
Have you ever tried heroin? You should try some heroin, maybe.
No heroin.
No?
No.
I say maybe the heroin will make it go away, you know, the pain.
Mm-mm.
I'm just saying, you know. I don't even know what this stuff is. Ben says, Ray, I know the feeling about knee issues. I tried T3 and Norco. But it took a cortisone shot for me to help. Oh, I'm way beyond cortisone shots, Ben. What's a T3? Do you know what a T3 is?
Mm-mm.
I don't know T3. That's for advanced drug users like Nikki, and even she doesn't know.
Tylenol 3.
Oh, that could be it. And Norco?
Norco is the one that I had after surgery.
Oh, yeah. That's heavy-duty stuff, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not doing anything too bad. And I'm not doing anything too strong, thank God. But I just like not hurting, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Is Tylenol 3 intense? Doesn't sound like it. It sounds like it's over the counter.
Oh, yeah.
It is. It's good, huh? Me talking about pain pills now. See, that's what I mean. I'm taking one. I'm already getting addicted, you know. That's my biggest fear.
I like it when they give me Dilaudid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
I don't like morphine.
Yeah.
It doesn't really do anything for me.
Yeah.
They give me Dilaudid or Demerol. That makes me happy.
Yeah. Morphine.
Morphine sucks.
Who told me? Somebody told me a story about taking a little morphine. I cannot remember who told me that. It wasn't Jimmy. Was it Jimmy?
It hasn't worked for me.
Was it Jimmy? Well, I know, and I thought about it. I thought about it this weekend. You know, my grandmother,
mm-hmm.
you know, as she was, I haven't talked about her a lot, but, you know, she passed away last weekend. But as she was passing away, she was given morphine.
Mm-hmm.
Like they put in a little droplet.
Liquid morphine.
Yeah, liquid morphine, you know, because she was in a mm-hmm. lot. She was in a lot of pain. You know?
Yeah, when my dad was.
And you would... You know, my mother would have to put a little bit in a, you know, like a syringe.
And put it in their mouth.
Yeah, and put it like under her tongue so
mm-hmm.
so she would stop hurting.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of a story, and I don't know why I'm trying to attribute it to Jim, but there was somebody like that said that around 2006, that somebody had some left over. And that he tried it, and and said it was great. Said it was great. I said that's why I think it's Jimmy, but it might not have been Jimmy. But
you're supposed to pour that stuff out immediately.
Oh, yeah, because you could die from it, you know.
Yes, you can.
But they said it was great. You can only take. You can only take a little bit, but for some reason, I think it's Jimmy, you can only take a little bit. I only took 4 tablespoons, you know. Talk about a guy with a drug tolerance, Jesus.
Right.
Oh, my God. Oh, yay, yay.
Mm-hmm.
Did I tell you the story about, I probably shouldn't say this on the air. I won't say this. Well, my wife once had to have sinus surgery, okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know what sinus surgery is? They go into your sinus passages and they cut out all the polyps and stuff.
Yeah. This is what they want to do to me.
It's a horrible surgery. They're so...
I know.
It's so painful afterwards. You have to stay... Mm-hmm. You have to stay doped up for like a week
Yeah.
Because if you ever let the pain get ahead of you, then you're, you know, you're screwed.
Mm-hmm.
So they gave my wife liquid Vicodin. You ever heard of that?
Mm-mm.
They gave her liquid Vicodin. And this jug, I mean, it looked like the kind of bottle that, like a big bottle of, like hydrogen peroxide, you know what I mean? How they make the big mm-hmm. bottle. But it was liquid Vicodin. And she would have to drink the Vicodin, yeah. I mean, and it was intense. And when she would drink the Vicodin, she would just be out for hours. And she had to do this. She did this for several days so the pain stopped with her sinus surgery, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But they gave her a prescription for like two bottles of it.
Wow.
And she didn't even use like a quarter of the first bottle, you know? So I won't mm-hmm. say the person. But we had it in our refrigerator, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And she had the surgery in 2006, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody we knew would stop by the house just to see what was going on. Check up on my wife, and you know. And they would always go, hey, do you mind if I get something to drink? And we'd be like, no, go ahead, you know. And they'd walk into the kitchen. No big deal, right? Except this person kept walking into our kitchen, and they either brought a thermos or something where they were dumping the liquid Vicodin into something else, or they were chugging it in our kitchen.
Oh, my.
And then they would take off, and, okay, just good to see. I'm not going to say who it was, but they'd go, hey, good to see you.
Uh-huh.
Good to see you. I hope you're feeling better. And then they leave, and then, like, the next day, come by again. Hey, I just wanted to check on Deidre and see how she's feeling. Hey, you mind if I get a pop, a soda? I'm like, hey, go ahead. I'd be like, that's weird. He walked out of the kitchen. He didn't even have a soda with him. Hey, so I just wanted to see how she's doing. Well, she's sleeping. Okay. But anyway, we found out that somebody kept coming to our house was chugging from her liquid Vicodin bottle.
Oh, man.
And then one day, they said, hey, what is that stuff in the refrigerator? What do you mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is that stuff? I go, well, liquid Vicodin. Are you guys using it? And I said, no, she hasn't used that in a week, you know. She had that for afterwards. I said, I'm probably gonna flush it down the toilet, which I was, you know. I was just mm-hmm. gonna dump it. And it was gone.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he just stole it. He took it. This is how we are. It took us days to realize it. Where my wife was like, did you throw the liquid Vicodin away? And I go, what? She goes, the liquid Vicodin that was in the refrigerator. I said, no, I didn't throw it away. She goes, what the hell happened to it? It was just
dirty
gone.
Dirty little thief.
It was gone. The liquid Vicodin was gone.
Oh.
And she had a whole other prescription for it. You know? There's more to the story, but I won't put it out there. But yeah. Just come by and chug the liquid Vicodin. You know you like the pain pills if you're chugging liquid Vicodin.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
I am tired.
Because you're a Vicodin addict, that's why. God. So you're fine. I'm so glad you were able to call in today. You're finally feeling a little better, you know. Thank God.
The only thing is the headache.
Well, good. That's better. And, you know, I was expecting, you know, you sent me that thing on Facebook today. Saying, hey, I'm going to do the show. And you're like, you said, I'm afraid I'm going to sound horrible or whatever. But I'll tell you, you don't sound that bad. You don't.
No, I'm not talking that much.
You don't sound that bad. You don't really sound, you know, you sound good. You don't sound horrible. Which makes me happy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought you were going to be like, I'm here, but, you know, your voice is resonating very good. You're speaking very, you know, very clearly. You sound wonderful. I feel like I got to catch up. Like we got to catch up. I haven't talked to you since what, Monday?
I don't know.
Let's see.
What's going on? I think so.
So you've just been sleeping, like, when do you shower and stuff? Do you shower?
I haven't showered in, like, 2 days.
Oh, goodness gracious. Can you smell? Can you smell, or?
I don't smell.
No, no, is your nose stuff? I'm just asking. Can you? No, no, not. No, can
yes,
you?
Yes, I can smell.
Say, does your
I
nose...
know I don't smell.
No, I'm saying, does your nose work? Can you does not do?
Yes, my nose works.
I'm not saying, do you smell bad? I'm saying, can you physically smell?
Yes. Because
sometimes your nose is so stuffed, you can't smell anything.
My nose is stuffed up.
And what I'm saying is, if you haven't showered in a few days, then it's not a bad
I'm
thing.
I'm sorry, Ray.
Then it's not a bad thing when you can't smell, you know.
Mm.
I go one day without showering, and I get the fermund. I mean, I stink. Oh. Like, I'll sit and I'll work out or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I get all sweaty. And I sit down with work.
I make sure I've got deodorant on and all that stuff.
Oh, it's not my armpits that stink with me. It's my balls.
Yeah.
I'll sit out.
Well, I don't have those.
I'll sit down on my bench. You know, I got like a bench. And I'll go to, you know, pick up my barbells and stuff. Oh, that I waft. It wafts up from my balls. Oh, my God. It wants to, it knocks me out. It smells so horrible. Oh.
And I keep myself clean with those wet wipe things, though.
You do what?
Remember, I keep myself clean with those wet wipe things.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you're constantly using the wet wipes when you're dirty, huh? There's Nikki. She's just got a bunch of, like, tissues where she's blown her nose on the floor and a bunch of wet wipes. What are these wet wipes for?
Bathroom.
Oh, nothing. Oh, I smell horrible when I don't shower. And I'll admit it. My balls they're horrible. They're just—they're foul.
I don't know how you people walk around
because
with those
it's
things.
When you're a man. Okay, when you're a man and you pee when you're young,
mm-hmm.
You just pee and you just tell yourself to stop. You know what I mean? And when you stopped, you stopped. Or. You grab it and you shake and whatever's left over comes out, right? So you're done.
Mm-hmm.
You're done with the pee. For some reason, you get older and you're like, you're done. I'm like, okay, I'm done. There's no more pee. No more pee. So you finish up and then it never fails. Like you get, you start to, you shake and you're like, okay, is that all of it? It's got to be all of it. So I pull my pants up, but I mean, you zip up, whatever, but I never unzip. I always just pull the pants down. I pull it out over the pants, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you put everything back on. You're confident. You're like, oh, good, good. No, nothing coming out. And then I take two steps away from the toilet, and as I'm taking the step, I feel something dribble out, and I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm like, son of a bitch. And it dribbles out. And, you know, it dribbles on stuff. And so now, you know, I'm walking around. I got dampness down there, you know. And eventually it turns to stink. Being a male, you know, getting older sucks.
Need some Depends for men.
I'm not going to wear Depends for men. No, but you know what I'll do? Like sometimes I'll take a little tissue or something or a toilet paper or whatever and I'll... Like, I won't trust it, you know? I'll be like, I know I think I'm done, but I'm going to grab a little toilet paper and just, you know, just in case. Sort of put it around the penis, and then I take my two steps or whatever it is, and I feel something leak out. I go, God damn it. I'm like, oh, but then at least it's on the papers, and I'll just remove the paper, and I'll toss the paper away, you know. Which is disgusting, I know, but it's... It's what happens. It's horrible. I'm telling you, getting old sucks.
Yeah, it does.
Most of you people, and a lot of the guys listening are younger, and they're like, oh, come on. But I'm telling you, it's true.
There are things that happen to your body that nobody talks about and nobody tells you.
I will get around old ladies sometimes. Well, you notice I'm talking about them. I'm telling people. I have been around old ladies before. Like you go for breakfast at a cafe or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you go in there, and you get a whiff, all right? Like a bunch of old ladies, and I get a whiff of like dirty puss. Oh my God.
Ew.
And I'll be like, what in the hell is that smell? What in God's name is that smell? You see these old ladies, you know, eating at the table next to you. And you could spot the one that's causing it, you know. Some fat lady with polyester pants and some type of flowered shirt or blouse. Sitting there with their crotch pointed right at you. I could see the green smog. I could see the green smog coming from between her legs and wafting over our table.
God.
And I look and I go, and I give like a dirty, like a stink face. I give a, you know, stink eye. I'm saying, there's the culprit. I look at the culprit and flash a dirty look her way. Like, I know that's dirty puss I'm smelling from you. Oh, hi, how are you? Ugh, disgusting. But you run into these people sometimes. It's like, good Lord, go get a washcloth and take care of yourself, lady. You know.
You can smell it and you need to wash it.
Yeah, right?
Yep.
If you go on public and he's, ugh, you know who gets that is Sean. Sean will come over. Sean will come over sometimes. You know, not so much anymore. Now that he has a girlfriend, it doesn't happen. But he would come over sometimes. And, like, you could tell he'd been sleeping in garbage car or working out or something. Like, he used to ride a bike all the time, you know? He'd ride this bike.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd, like, come over to the house, and he's stinky, and he comes in, and he used to take off his shoes. And my wife would yell at him, oh, your feet are disgusting. So he stopped taking off his shoes, you know? So then it didn't smell as bad. But then he would go in, and he'd man spread on the couch, you know? And I'd be like, what is that foul odor? And I'd speak up. I'd go, what is that odor? And he'd be sitting there with his man spread out there. And I'll be like, close your legs. Good Lord, it smells like something died in here. I said, oh, your crotch. I said, there's something wrong when your crotch smells like maggots. You know. And then, of course, Sean goes, I never. Like, what, never wash?
Never take a shower, apparently.
Never take a fucking bath. You're right, you never. He needs the handy wipes. See, next time you're out there riding a bike, why don't you swing by KFC and get some of those lemon-scented wipes? Rub those things on your balls, because you got some stench going on, buddy. God bless. That's horrible. Have you no shame? Have you no shame, sir? But we all get there, you know. Like I said, I'll sometimes be working out or something. I'll get a whiff of myself. And I'll be like, oh, my God, that's it. Workout over. Get in the shower. Because it's disgusting. You know, I'm like, oh, my God, if my wife ever gets a whiff of this, I'll never have sex again. You know? Because the last thing you want is your woman pleasuring you, you know?
Yeah.
Especially,
and then have the stank.
Yeah, especially orally, you know. And
she may not be so eager to go down there again.
Yeah, and the last thing you want is her down there, and even if you don't stink then, you know what I mean? if like, you're going at it, or you stink and your wife gets a whiff of it, you know, and then the next time that she is pleasuring you, the worst thing you need is her flashing back saying, you know, oh, I remember smelling this a couple weeks ago when he smelled horrible. And it's like they might just stop and you're done, you know, and then you're screwed.
Uh-huh.
Then you're just screwed. And I'm like, oh, God, you know, I don't want this to happen. So I immediately got to wash, you know.
Yeah.
I gotta take care of business here. Can't have her ever getting that smell ever, you know. That'll really, you know, that could ruin many a future night. So I gotta clean everything up, you know. I might get these wipes that you have?
Get them at Walmart. They're like Cottonelle.
We do have wipes, but we have wipes for the dogs. But I think they're the same thing. they're pet wipes. You know, like when your dog. Because what happens to these dogs?
I don't know. These are flushable wipes.
Yeah, I think these are. I think these are the same things. You know, to see, but they have these. They have these pet wipes, okay? And what happens is dogs, you know, they can't help but smell pee. One dog will pee and they'll put their face down there.
Uh-huh.
And they get down there to smell it, and they get piss all over their face. Dogs are disgusting. I mean, I love my dogs, but they are foul. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They are foul. And what they do is when they come in, and you take the pet wipe, and you have to wipe their face, to wipe the pee off it. And
gross.
Yeah, but but you got to do it, you know. And you end up. Got the wipes for the dogs to keep them from getting pee all over their face, because they do. So we got those wipes, and I'm like, oh, I wonder if that's the same thing, you know?
No, probably not.
I'm sitting on the couch, get a little whip or something. Maybe I'll grab a pet wipe and go to town, you know?
Or just get the right stuff.
Yeah, but it sounds like a lot of money. Like you could say.
No, I get like a 3-pack Equate brand.
3-pack
for like $3.95.
How many are in a 3-pack?
Like 120 wipes.
Oh, I thought you meant like 3 wipes. Like 3 wipes. How big are these friggin' wipes? Good lord!
They're like bigger than my hand. Mm.
Hmm. Nikki refuses to use toilet paper when she. I won't use toilet paper when I can use wipes. I'm like the queen. Except I use my own hands instead of those of servants. Well, that's when you know you're wealthy, you know what I mean?
What?
That's when you're wealthy.
I'm not wealthy.
No, I'm just saying. Well, I got to talk about the queen. I'm like, if you're so wealthy that you don't have to wipe yourself after going to the bathroom, that is wealthy right there.
I wipe myself.
I know. I'm just saying. I was impersonating the queen. I said maybe the queen doesn't. You know.
I don't know.
To go to town and filthy queen puss. Take care of business. Business. So sometimes I got to say, I do contemplate sometimes taking the pet wipes and giving my balls a once-over, you know, in between showers. Make sure you stay, make sure you stay somewhat fresh, you know. I'll sometimes take like a wet, you know, like a washcloth or something if I'm really, really overheated.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I just know I'm not particularly dirty, just, you know, sweaty and stuff. I'll take a wet washcloth, mm-hmm. especially in the summer. And I'll give myself the old once over with the washcloth, you know, to keep the, keep myself cool, you know. Like, especially before I go work out or something, it's like, oh, give me the washcloth. I'm going to, you know. I'll throw it in the hamper. Stay away from the washcloth. Don't touch the washcloth.
Don't touch it.
Yeah, it's foul. Hey, did you see the woman with the EpiPens?
Oh, my God. This is making me so mad.
It's insane, right?
I am supposed to carry EpiPens.
Yeah.
The last time I bought them, they were $100. And they have expired.
That's insane.
And I'm due to get new EpiPens.
That's insane. I mean, I know this is America, and we don't, you know, we try not to, we, you know, we try to, you know, we try not to control business too much. But good God, when you have a company, all right, like this new one they're talking about is that the company Mylan or whatever. Their CEO, this woman, Heather Bresch, who, by the way, is the niece, or no, the daughter of a senator.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
The CEO who made this decision, she is the daughter of a senator.
Figures.
Yeah. I mean, her dad's in the government. I mean, he must be, this guy must be fuming. But they took these pills that they're these EpiPens that they make, okay? And what they do is this woman, she's already been in trouble once before, okay? Because this is a United States company.
Yeah.
And these pharmaceutical companies are supposed to pay a high tax rate, you know what I mean? Because the way they gouge the United States citizens. So she bought a Netherlands company, or their company merged with a company from the Netherlands. I think it's the Netherlands. I'm going to check, but some kind of European company, right? And she moved the company's headquarters to the other country. So she'd have to pay less. She did a whole tax inversion thing.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So you move the corporate headquarters to another country, and it gives and it lowers your tax rate. So they did that a few years ago to get out of, you know, paying taxes. And this woman, okay, she's the CEO now. She took these EpiPens, which when they make them, the EpiPen caught, what is it? I'm trying to find the number. That they have a, what this company that she runs, this Mylan, they actually bought the rights to EpiPens. Like, the EpiPens were owned by, I can't remember the name of the company, but there was a this company that made EpiPens, right? And they charged it was $55 for an EpiPen. All right, that's what they charged. This company Mylan, they buy the company that has the EpiPens,
right?
Because they saw they were only $55. They bought them and moved the price up to $700 for two EpiPens. So that's what, $350 of an EpiPen? From $55.
Wow.
And there's nothing. There's no government regulation to keep them from doing this.
Yeah.
They literally just woke up one day and said, you know what? Move the price up to $700. And, you know, the people say, well, it doesn't cost us. It only costs us, you know, $30 to make them. She's like, so I don't care. So what? Who else is going to do it? So once they got the total market control of the EpiPens, they had a 671% increase. which is whenever I argue with people and they say, well, we can't, like, I'll say, I don't want just one company being in charge of blah, 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 you know?
Right.
And I always say, well, because once the company becomes the only one doing something,
price gouging happens.
Well, they do that or they just go to fuck everybody over. Look at radio. Radio used to have, you know, like, you'd go to a town and there'd be like eight people that owned radio stations.
Mm-hmm.
There'd be eight people who would be the owners of these stations. Sometimes 10, 12, 14 people would own radio companies in a market. So as a person who worked in radio, it's like, you want to be number one. Well, I was number one. So as soon as one job would come to an end or our contract would come to an end, another radio company would say, hey, you're number one. I want you to come work over here. I'll give you this much. Well, then they passed deregulation of the radio industry, of communications industry. And you went from having markets that would have, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 14 people owning stations in it. And now all of a sudden you'd have like two, you know?
Yeah.
And when you, like, look at now. I mean, I think we would all agree. I'm hoping I don't sound too arrogant. Not that I've never sounded arrogant before, but I mean, I've had success in this in the market of Springfield, Illinois, forever. From the time I syndicated here in 1994 till the time the disaster ended, you know, I had the ratings prove it. The sales figures prove it. I had an extremely successful radio show.
Yeah.
Then when I made the move to talk radio, I had a successful talk radio show. My name, yep. I know for a fact because I've seen the studies. My name recognition in this town is huge.
Yep.
Not everybody likes me, but they know my name. You know.
Mm-hmm.
I have an internet show and podcast. All right. An internet show and podcast right now that averages four figures. I'm telling you. I mean, I don't want to sound like an arrogant ass, but people, trust me, no one in this area doing internet, hell, a lot of people doing radio, do not have the audience that we have. They just don't, you know. And I'm not saying everybody who listens to the show loves it. There are probably some people that hate it, but, you know, for whatever, or that don't like me, but maybe they like Nikki or the callers or whatever, but they still listen to the show. And I have actual statistics that back that up. But still, I have been without a job in radio, well, technically since January. I've been legally available to work anywhere for, I don't know how long, maybe like 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever it's been, you know. Since I can go work anywhere if I want. And yet, no offers. Now, it might just be because I'm a horrible person and nobody wants me. But I'm telling you, if it would have been days when there were 10, 14 owners of radio stations, I guarantee I'd get a job. But now, you've got three companies in town that run all of these radio stations. There's only three companies. And these companies decided years ago, back when I was pulling in $80,000 a year. Oh, wait, I don't think I legally say that. I was pulling in a lot of money, you know, you know, every single year hosting a show. Well, these radio stations decided, I'm not going to pay that much.
Uh-huh.
We're not going to pay it. Now they're giving people like 35 and telling them, be happy.
Yeah.
And it's like, you got to be, you know, so they don't want to, nobody wants to pay any money. You got that TAX, my old station, running ads on their station looking for a new afternoon talk show host. They're running ads. Yeah, they're running ads. By the way, when Bernie Schoenberg asked them if they if getting rid of me had anything to do with politics, they said, no, it's just business, okay? But now they're running an ad that says, you must be a conservative. They're telling people you must be a conservative to get the job. I'm like, are you kidding me? After you said my politics had nothing to do with my being fired. By the way, I knew that was a lie.
Right.
You know, obviously you want someone that thinks like you. Someone that thinks like Rush Limbaugh, because as much as they denied that they were the conservative station in town, they're the conservative station in town. They were.
Wow.
You know. So now they're running ads saying, if you're a conservative, you want to take a shot at running, at doing a talk show. Oh, and the other fact is, let's talk about it. That the ratings came out. And you talk about a nosedive and a day part. Good Lord. Good Lord. That gave me a little pat on the back.
Yeah.
Knowing when I did afternoons, they actually had ratings. Now it's like, oh my God. And by the way, congratulations to Jim Leach, who went into afternoons. I don't understand the logic for this company. What are they thinking? It's like Jim Leach goes into afternoons, and it was horrible circumstances that put him there. But what? And you people out there, whether you like Jim Leach or not, okay, he's a talented mother effer, man. He really is. The guy's a good radio guy.
Mm-hmm.
Going head-to-head against him, which I've done several times in my life, going head-to-head against him has always been a joy because you've got to work hard. you know? So, you know, I beat him before when he did mornings, and I did mornings. And I was looking forward. I'm like, oh, God, he's doing afternoons. I'm doing afternoons. This is going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I was having some great shows, you know, going against him. And part of the reasons I was having good shows is, like, I'm against Leach. So I know I got to bring my A game. You know what I mean?
Right.
And what was WTAX's answer? They fired me.
Mm-hmm.
And they put on and then they put some guy I've never heard of before on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now Mark, what's his name, Levin or whatever. I know everybody know. I know him. He's been around for a long time, but they put him on from like 5 to 8 or whatever. Which mm-hmm. I understand that because he's, you know, he is a he's one of those conservative knobs
mm-hmm.
who toes.
Is he the one from 20?
I can't hear you. What?
Is he the one that was from Channel 20?
No. Levin is a national guy. He's just on radio forever. So they put him on from 5 to 8 or whatever. But then they put some guy that I've never heard of on from like three to five or whatever. I don't know what the shift is. But they put this guy on. And, of course, it's a complete and utter failure, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So now they need to bring somebody else in. And they're openly advertising, saying, we want a conservative to come in here. But here's what they really want. We want someone we can give, and they say, we want you to go live 2 to 5 or whatever. And they're doing it like, oh, we're going to give someone a big break. You're not giving anyone a break. That's not the reason for it. The reason is, we don't want to pay a professional. We want to pay someone an hourly rate, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to give someone $8.25 to host a show, or maybe they'll go as high as $15 an hour.
Yeah.
To host a show. It's like, are you kidding me? This should be a professional person. And even if the person who is an amateur, once they start getting paid, they are a professional. And if you really want to make them successful, throw some money at them. Don't just pay them an hourly wage. So I'm thinking either they're just cheap and they want to get away with paying them nothing, you know. $8.25 or whatever an hour, 3 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
Or they've got somebody already, and they're trying to come up with a good backstory, like, oh, he just walked off the street. You know what I mean? Which someone will find out. Someone will find out. It's bullshit. If that's the case, somebody's going to go, wait a minute, this guy did radio here. They're experienced. So, mm-hmm. you know. So either way, they're up to something, but it's like, you know, no matter what, I guarantee that person's not going to be making the same amount of money that I was making. No matter what, I'll guarantee you they're going to underpay somebody. And people ask me about it now all the time, so I got to put up with the embarrassment of people asking me about that. Well, I thought that they fired you because they said they couldn't afford to do because they said they just couldn't do a live show in the afternoon anymore. I'm like, I don't know. I guess after 6 months or whatever, they changed their mind on that. Who knows?
Yeah.
I guess they changed their mind. But I'm sick of people asking me about, you know what I mean? It's embarrassing when people ask. So maybe I'm just pissed off that I'm getting asked and embarrassed about it, but people, I'm telling you,
you shouldn't be embarrassed about it.
And by the way, if you didn't want me being a liberal, you should have just fucking told me.
Yeah.
Just said, hey, you know what, I don't like liberalism because I'm scared of forward thinking. You know, I'm afraid of it. I'm afraid of it. You know, I like living in the past. You know, I like living in the past when things were better, you know, like before women, before women were able to vote. But by the way, any conservative that wants to argue that that's not true, we don't want to live in the past. Your fucking slogan is Make America Great Again, which implies it was better in the past. So don't tell me that you're not a party of the past, all right? But, you know, and even if that's the case, I appreciate anybody's opinion. It's like, there's your opinion, fine. So at least tell me. Say, you know what, your politics just don't jive with what we're doing. You know, we have Rush Limbaugh on, we have Glenn Beck on, we have these other shows on, and they just fit better than you do. At least have the balls to tell me that. Don't make me feel guilty saying you just make too much money. Yeah. Oh, you make so much money, you know, to make me feel fucking guilty about all the money I make.
Yeah.
You know? When the real reason is, I just don't like his liberalism. At least fucking tell me. So now, you know, that's out there, and I got all these people asking me all the time. That's embarrassing. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying my ex-employer. I'm not saying my ex-employer has to somehow do things to benefit me, but Jesus. You know, you could have let me know, especially when, you know, when they get rid of me and Memorial Hospital says that he hosts our show. And for us to continue paying you this large amount of money, we want him to host the show. And they call me up and beg me, please come back and do this. I could have been I could have been a dickhead and said, no, you guys fired me 2 days ago. Fuck you. And I didn't do that. You know what I mean? I said, yeah, I'll go in and, you know, I will go in and host that show once a week. Now, granted, I don't do it for free. I do get paid for it.
Right.
But, you know, to go out and put these commercials on is embarrassing to me. It's embarrassing. Especially when the real reason you're doing, we want a different person is because you want someone whose politics 100% agree with yours. Once again, it's your company. I'm fine. You know, if that's how you want to do it, fine. But when you tell everybody that the reason that you got rid of me is because you just can't afford a live show anymore. That's what they told. Remember, that's what they told everybody.
Yeah.
They said, well, we just can't afford a live host anymore. Well, don't tell people that lie and then run a commercial saying we want someone else to do it live, because that's when people, they think less of me now.
I don't think they think less of you. I think they see through the bullshit.
Yeah, they probably do. But still, and going back to the original point, if there were 10 owners of radio stations in town, another station would use that to their advantage and have to, you know, and put me on the air.
Right.
But now, you know, now I have to leave. You know what I mean? This is the problem. This has been the biggest problem with me. The job I've gotten, I have gotten people who have inquired about me doing shows on their station. But every single one is so far out of from where I'm used to living that it would be a major change for, you know, my wife, who really enjoys her job, my daughter, who is in high school. I'd have to pick everything up and go move. In some of these cases, Nikki, and I think I told you where some of these places were, I would have to move across the country in order to do a show. And it's such an inconvenience that I, in order to continue doing the thing I love in radio, I'd have to pick up and move across the country. But I'm telling you, if there were more owners like there used to be, it would be as easy as just picking up the phone and calling another company in town and going to work for them. But when there's only a couple of companies, you know, and granted, some of you are probably saying, well, damn, you already work for those companies and pissed them off. If you wouldn't have pissed them off. But, you know, let's look at how I pissed them off. Most of the time I pissed them off was just they were paying me too much money, you know?
Right.
How does that piss somebody off? Oh, you were so good I had to pay you this much money, so I don't like you for it. I don't know. Seems like a, you know. They love, but, you know, it's the whole shill of business is always right.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. It's not right. Radio companies better wake up. Their share of advertising dips every single day. Market shares dip every single day.
All right.
And as long as you have general managers in the city that only care about the bottom line and the numbers, it sure as hell doesn't tell me that they care about entertainment or their listeners.
Right.
Anyway, that's just I'm probably wrong. That's just my opinion.
I don't think you're wrong.
Yeah. I don't either. So, I don't know. It just sucks. You know, like if I want to go back to radio, of which, by the way, I want to. I'd like to do a show, you know. I enjoy broadcasting. I have never missed a day of broadcasting. I mean, even they fired me on one day. Literally the next day, you and I were back on the air the next day. In fact, we were doing both. Or both, as they say in urban areas. You know, we did both shows. So I love broadcasting. I do it for free sitting in my office, sitting in my studio at home. But at some point, I got to stop doing it for free and do it where somebody's going to pay me. And right now, the people where that could happen, I got to load up a van and drive across the country, which is ridiculous. You know, it's insane how much control was lost by the employees when radio decided to do what they did, you know?
Yeah.
So for me, my choice is either I pick up and move across the country and do some show, you know, in some place out west, or I got to change my career. I mean, it sucks to be forced to change your career just because, you know, of a law that opened up the availability for the biggest, wealthiest companies. By the way, there's very few individual owners anymore.
Yeah.
It used to be, you know, some guy that had some money in an area, he could own a radio station. That used to be, it used to be wealthy guys in every city, like a dozen or so wealthy guys, would own different companies, and they'd compete. Now it's huge conglomerates that are publicly traded, and where they decide who's going to run the station by who comes in with the best, with the best business plan that shows them saving money. And it's just very sad, but it happens everywhere, you know. Whether it's a pharmaceutical company,
yeah,
or a radio company, and I'm just saying, at some point, there was a difference, you know. And same with newspapers. These newspapers that are going out of business because they can't figure out how to compete with the internet.
Yeah.
Their thing is, let's just slash, fire people. Let's increase the sales staff and fire the talent. They've done it in radio.
Yeah.
They've done it in newspaper. They're doing it in TV. They're doing it everywhere in media. And then they just rub their head and go, God damn. Why won't more people, why won't they read our papers? Why won't they listen to our radio stations? Why are so many of them listening to Pandora and Spotify? Or why are they listening to a podcast? Or why are they listening to things other than our radio station? Oh, I don't know. Because you suck, maybe?
Yeah.
Because because radio's solution, their answer to the fact that internet can offer, here's a type of music that somebody likes. So internet can offer it to where you can listen to music with no commercial interruption, gigantic variety of your favorite music.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that would make it different is if you were living in an area and a familiar voice with a familiar name came on in between the music and said things that were entertaining enough, or at least local enough to you, that you would be in on the joke, or you could pick up the phone and call them. That's what makes radio different from the internet, right there.
Yep.
So your answer as an industry, radio's answer is, oh, I get it. What's that thing that? What are the two things that make us different from internet? Well, that would be live radio host who know the area, and commercials. Great. Let's fire one of them. Let's fire the live radio host. Fuck them. And let's increase the amount of commercials we play. And now they're sitting there scratching their heads going, God, I don't understand why more people aren't listening to us like they used to. I just don't understand it. Hey, make sure let's hire more salespeople this week so we can bring in more people to sell a product that's shittier than it was 10 years ago.
Get a little money out
of it. Yeah, but they spend money. And how many of these salespeople come into radio stations? They work off a draw. You know, they get a guarantee, and these fuckers come in. They go for 1 year. Then when the guarantee's over, they quit the industry, and they go start selling something else. And then radio's answer is, well, let's just hire more. Gee, it's an unbelievable business.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, this is what they don't understand. We got to compete with these. It's hard for us to compete with these internet stations. Well, they don't understand. You are also an internet station, you imbeciles.
Yeah.
You're also a fucking internet station. I had this isn't local, but I was talking to a guy not that long ago who was saying that satellite radio was killing him. And I said, why? And he was just saying, well, he goes, you got Howard Stern on there. He could say whatever he wants, and the FCC won't stop him. And we had a legendary morning show in our market, and you know, we found people that were they were going to listen to Sirius on the satellite or over the internet, and they were listening to the these internet things and blah blah blah. And we, you know, we had to fire our guys, and now we're just trying to. And so I asked the guy, I go, why couldn't you compete with Stern? He says, because he was able to go on and do a show without worrying about the FCC. And so I told him, I said, well, you had a legendary morning show, right? He goes, yeah. I said, why didn't you just slap him on the internet?
Mm-hmm.
Because the guy even told me, he said, well, if my show would have been able to go on and say whatever they wanted, you know, they would have kept their audience share. Well, that's fucking on you, buddy. That's your fault.
Right.
You know, I don't get it. If you ran a radio station and you had a legendary morning show in these markets, you know, and like some of these markets, they had legendary people doing their shows. They fired them, brought in new people, or just went to no talk. That was the worst thing. We're going to go to no talking at all. Because now, right. Now the only thing different between you and internet now is the commercials.
Uh-huh.
Which is just, it's insane to how they came to that conclusion. Oh, right. The only thing different between us now is the commercials. We're still going to win because we're local. No, only your commercials are local.
Yeah.
And then the places that even have, they have people introducing the music, it's all recorded.
Uh-huh.
You know, call up and do a, you know, I think, I take it back, I think Kiss FM might be live at night. I think Kiss FM might be live.
FMB
is. And FM is live at night. Pretty much everybody else, you want to call and request a song, you're fucked.
Yep.
I'm telling you, because they don't, because there's nobody live. No
even
one.
Even in the afternoons, I think they
even,
are.
Even in the afternoon. I can't even, I mean, I think FMB, Kiss, and DBR has Mikey Conley's now live in the afternoon. But that's it. Leech, you know.
Huh?
Everybody else is recorded. And if I'm wrong, I'm sorry, but I'm positive I'm not wrong. Everything else is recorded.
Mm-hmm.
Recorded in the morning. And especially when you're listening to these radio stations, you know the guy that's live in the morning is also voice tracking the other station, and he's on at 4 yep. o'clock in the afternoon. Trust me, that guy, that fucker's not there at 4 o'clock in the afternoon doing a show. There's nobody yeah. in this town that's going to pay somebody to be there from 6 in the morning till 6 at night. It's recorded.
Right.
And they're just like, well, wait, and I've had this argument with general managers before, and they go, well, listeners know. They just understand it. I'm like.
No, they don't.
I said, you know.
I've had arguments with people before.
They know, and they don't understand it. They get pissed off when they find out, and they go and listen mm-hmm. to, and they listen to Spotify, or they listen mm-hmm. to Pandora. So, yeah, so they do know, and they don't like it. And that's why they leave, or they listen to somebody else. You know,
and when they find out, they get mad.
And if you look at the ratings, which I understand I'm probably not supposed to have seen, but I've seen them.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked to people who have studied them intensively. And the shows that are live got bigger ratings than the ones who aren't. They just, it's just happening.
Yeah.
Without me there. On WTAX, Jim Leach on WMAY whipped TAX's ass. I mean, whooped it. Whooped it. And I'm not saying he wouldn't have done it if I were there, but I'm saying that last year when I was there, this wasn't the case. This year,
right.
the live afternoon show whooped the hell out of the syndicated show.
Mm-hmm.
Facts are facts.
Yep.
WFMB AM, you know, the sports talk. They mm-hmm. have the press box live. The press box beat the syndicated shows, which is yep. a, which is a sports only show. Which don't get me wrong, it's a, I listen to it all the time. It's a great show, but if you don't like sports, there's no incentive to listen to it. Still, mm-hmm. still, it beat the syndicated show that wasn't talking sports. So I mean, that's what radio's going through now, and their answer, these people, these numbers people. Their answer is, oh, well, I need to cut salary because the people on air are what's killing me. You know, meanwhile, in this market, there's nobody who is on air and also doing sales. So they don't even give people, right. they don't even give people a chance to do that anymore like they used to.
Mm-hmm.
They used to say, well, let's let you do both so we can find a way to get you more money. Or let's find a way for you, you know what I mean? Like, say what you want yeah. about Tom Cusack, but when I worked for Tom Cusack and I would get an offer to leave, I'm doing the morning disaster and somebody would offer me big money to leave the city. And I go to Tom and I say, man, I really want to stay, but I just can't. It's so good. And Tom, here's Tom's solution. He'd go, okay, let's sit down and let's find what it would take for you to stay. You know what I mean? And I would be like, well, I want a better, bigger, you know, bigger staff. And I want them to be paid. And he would say, okay, let's find a way to do that. And then I'd say, mm-hmm. and I want to make more money for myself. He goes, okay, let's find a way to make that happen. Let's. And, mm-hmm. Tom, and Tom's answer was always, hey. And it was always the same thing. It was, let's find a way for you to make more money for the company, and we'll share it.
Mm-hmm.
That was the way of thinking back then. Now it's like, now these companies and these guys who run it, it's like, what's ours is ours, and what's yours is fuck you, you know. It's like, yeah. it's like, what's ours is ours, and what's yours is what we decide to give you, so shut the fuck up. That's their attitudes.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying that wasn't always the case. So, I don't know. Who knows? It's probably going to be, this podcast will be downloaded and passed around from the general managers in this area going, fuck you, Ray. But you know what? You guys have pretty much been saying that anyway.
Right.
I think that's pretty common that you said it way before this podcast. So, you know, it's very frustrating, and I'm just using radio as an example. But you wonder how this pharmaceutical company was able to purchase these EpiPens that save people's lives.
And are desperately needed.
Yeah, and they increased the price by 670%.
Yep.
And there's nothing we can, that's why people are so pissed. You know, the real reason people are so pissed about it
mm-hmm.
isn't that there are children with allergies that need an EpiPen to survive. That's not why we're pissed about it. The mm-hmm. real reason we're pissed about it is that we can't, and we can't do anything about it.
What?
You know? There's nothing we can do about it.
And they've made it so that they can't have competitors.
So it's like, son of a, you know, I mean, that's what really makes people angry is when we realize, well, there's not a, there's nothing. And I, by the way, that's what always makes people angry, you know, when they realize there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, when your wife decides to leave you, or your husband decides to leave you, or whatever your, you know, your lover, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, when they decide to leave you, what's really making you mad? That you, that A, they're
about it.
They're leaving, or B, that they said they're leaving and there's nothing you can do about it. That's what pisses people yeah. off. Or you realize, oh, my God, it's too late. Like you say, oh, God, I've been such an asshole and I haven't had sex with her in years, or I haven't, I won't even pick up my own filthy clothes, or I don't, you know. And then you're like, oh, my God, and it's too late. I can't do anything about it. That's what frustrates people.
Uh-huh.
You know? And people get frustrated when they realize there's nothing I can do about it because the system, especially when it's politics or business, and they go, the system's rigged against me. Because there's nothing in the United States laws that allow the government to come on and go, whoa, 670% for a life-saving drug that only costs you $30 to make is mm-hmm. excessive, and we need to stop it. But in the United States, we allow people freedom. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And businesses will take advantage of it. It's like these people that say, It's like these people that say that they are going to give tax breaks to wealthy people because they think the more the money is going to trickle down into the hands, yeah. into the hands.
Yeah.
All the rich people that we give the tax breaks to, they're just going to give jobs to the poor people. And it's been proven time and time again that they don't. You want to know what they do with the extra money they get from not paying taxes? They fucking they keep it.
Yeah.
So in other words, there's nothing we can do. And then after we give them the break, there's nothing we can do about it. So our answer is always then a Democrat president wins and we raise the taxes on them. I mean, it's just how it works, you know? And we used to have regulation in this country. We used to have regulation in radio by saying there's a limit on how many radio stations one person or one company can own in a market.
Uh-huh.
They deregulated it. There was a law preventing it. They deregulated. At one point in this country, there was regulation that said that these pharmaceutical companies couldn't corner the market on one item. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They deregulated it. Now they can. Look what happens. They corner the market and then they charge everybody more. Mm-hmm. And if you don't think that fucks the rest of us, you're crazy, because it does. It causes insurance prices to go up. It's going to cost people lives. There are some people, like little kids with a peanut allergy, who die. They will die if they don't have one of these EpiPens.
And that's what mine for allergies.
But these fuckers, these they don't care. They don't care. Someone who can't afford that is not going to be able to. They're not going to have one. And somebody's going to accidentally eat a. They're going to have a brownie where someone goes, "Oh yes, I made it with peanuts. That's my secret, peanut butter." And meanwhile, right. You got some kids swelled up like a Macy's balloon, has no and can't breathe and dies a horrible death.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be their parents' fault, or it's going to be the person who made the brownies' fault, or whatever. But nobody will ever trickle it back to who it should be. Which is these people who have cornered the market on EpiPens and raised the prices. And by the way, for those of you out there saying, well, the insurance, what they'll do is they'll make it up in taxes paid, and then the United States government will use the taxes to extend the amount of poor people that can get insurance. No, because these fuckers have already skirted the laws on paying taxes when they move their company to the Netherlands.
Yep.
And they keep wondering how to do it, and I see even these geniuses like a Donald Trump. Believe me, I'm going to stop these people from doing this. Really? How are you going to do it? When, by the way, you know, the example's easy. If you want to punish someone, punish the companies that don't have headquarters here by simply saying, oh, you know what? You're not an American company, so you're not going to get the advantages. You are not going to get the advantages of being an American company unless you're headquartered in the United States. Sounds like a pretty fucking easy solution to me.
Yeah.
But yet you never hear anyone say that, because you can't get elected unless these big companies are also giving you donations. So you're not going to hear Trump or Hillary Clinton say that. I'm a billionaire. I don't need anyone else giving me money to run for president. I'll use my own money, which is a bunch of bullshit by Trump, because all he's been doing is begging people for money. So he can win the presidency. It's unbelievable. Because he's not worth shit, as it turns out. Which is the real reason he won't release his tax returns. Yeah. It's just, I'm telling you, that's why, in essence, is why people are angry. Because they feel like there's nothing they can do about it. And that's why.
Mm-hmm.
They are frustrated. And who can blame them? Who can blame them? Anyway, I think I had a conniption. Yeah. Oh, my God. See what happens, Nikki? You get on the show, I go crazy.
Yes, you do.
Well, listen, it's almost 10, so we should get out. We need you to get better.
All right.
No show tomorrow. We'll do a best of show tomorrow.
Be back Tuesday.
Yeah, best of show on Monday, guys. And then we'll be back on Tuesday. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Best of show tomorrow, best of show on Monday. Both of them will be put up for podcast. All right? So you will get them on podcast. In case you missed the live airing, or because I'll be out of town, if for some reason the live, because I won't be here to fix the live stream if for some reason it stops working, which sometimes it does, you know. Especially with updates, you know. This freaking Windows, God forbid it go 24 hours without updating something, you know. Which shuts down the stream, which, so that's why I'll put both of the best of shows and stuff on, so you have something to listen to. Oh my God, I got angry today talking about radio and pharmaceuticals and, oh my God.
And we, and, see the pain pill.
And we really are, I mean, we really are screwed. I mean, the way the system is, we are just, we're really, you're never going to see politicians do what they need to do, which is punish companies that aren't United States companies. And it, just for the sole reason of having United States companies stop putting their headquarters somewhere else, but they're not going to do it because those same companies, yep. Those same companies give money to campaigns.
Yep.
I mean, in this country, I want you to remember, everybody, in this country, we still are currently giving people a tax break for outsourcing. You get a tax break if you outsource jobs to another country. And when President Obama brought it up at two different State of the Unions saying he wanted to get rid of that law, he was booed from both Republicans and Democrats. They booed him. And by the way, he hasn't even offered it up during the last like three State of the Unions. In his first term, during the State of the Union speeches, he brought up this law and said, we want to get rid of it. We want to stop giving tax breaks to companies that outsource. He was booed by the legislators, by our Congress. They booed him. Not only are those people so embedded in Congress that they boo the president when he says that, obviously they've now got their... they've wrapped their the president around their little finger because the president hasn't even brought it up in the last couple states of the union. That's how powerful they are. That's how frustrating it is. Anyway, get well, Nikki. Take some pain pills.
Yep.
Make yourself happy. Everyone, thanks for listening. Oh, I'm ending the week on a down note. Me being so angry. Thanks, Nikki, getting me going.
Yeah.
As always, people, I'm sure a lot of what I said I'm wrong. Feel free to send me a message over to Ray Lytle's Morning Disaster on Facebook. Or send it to me personally, Ray Lytle. Tell your friends about the podcast. Have them listen. I think we did some pretty good shows this week.
Yeah.
Yesterday's best of stuff with Jimmy was very funny. I really enjoyed it. But I'm so glad Nikki's back today. It's always better when Nikki's back. Get well. I want you well on Tuesday when we do another show. And everyone, have a great weekend, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk to you soon. So long,
bye, everybody.